And I know that was by no means an exhaustive list that Klaus shared, but it's pretty exciting. So let's pray. Lord, are reminded God loved the world so much that he gave his son. And we thank you that you've brought us into a life of concern for a world, to have eyes where we see things through the eyes of Jesus, though before we even rejected him, now we have been saved so that we can live for him who died and rose again for us. And so we pray that you would again give us love for people. You'd give us servants' hearts, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Help us to know that's our call in this world. Help us to be observant. Help us to be practical. Help us to be generous. Help us to know how to move forward. Bless Klaus in his role as chair of this committee. Thank you for the connections we have through ARDFC and GAFCON, GFCA. Lord, we are excited to be part of this global fellowship. And so we pray you would help us to take our place, and we pray that this committee, that you would constitute it, you'd have the right people, and that they would know how to interact with each congregation in a way which would promote this thing called mission, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm delighted that Alistair Stern is going to come, and I hope that you'll turn your attention. It's not easy being the last one, but not by no means the least. So, Alistair, please come.
I'm going to avail the opportunity to give you an application point right off the get-go, loving children. My wife's been texting me since I've been gone. Our 16-month-old daughter, Ansley, has been going through terrible separation anxiety over the past 2 weeks and has kind of escalated while I've been away. So I figured I might as well get everyone to pray for her while I have the opportunity, and then we're loving children well. Deal?
Yeah.
Father, we thank you that you love children. Above all, Lord, I ask that you'd grant Ansley the faith of her baptism, that you would answer the prayers of us, that you would grant Ansley peace and calm and Julia sanity. In Christ's name, amen. Charlie calls me up, says, hey, you want to be a chair of church planting? I say, I'll think about it. And in the head, I was just going to say no. And then I remembered I swore canonical obedience to the bishop. So I said, okay, I should pray about this. And I talked to my wife and say, you know, should I do this? I don't know if I have time. You know, I'm planting a church as is. And we both felt peace about it. And I really felt the Spirit say to me, why wouldn't you want to have more children? And my wife, and it was very timely because my wife and I were trying to have more children, and we haven't yet, but we're working on it. And that's how we should feel.
Exactly.
Yeah. The new strategy for loving children. That's how we should feel about church planting. Why wouldn't we want to have more children? I don't have any slides because that's what happens when you ask a church planner to give a presentation. It's not beautiful, but we get her done. And, you know, we wear plaid. Like, this is just kind of what we do. I didn't grow up in the church, let alone ever think that I'd be speaking at an event like this. I grew up in a humanist family. My parents were good people, not Christians. And when I became a Christian, I was actually the first Christian in my entire extended family. So not just my immediate family, my extended family. And so I started doing research, and I found out in the 17th century, there's a man named Richard Stern. He was the Archbishop of York. I'm related to him. Kind of neat. And for you English buffs, I'm actually related to Lawrence Stern, author of Tristram Shandy. But that's about the extent of Christianity in my family, the 17th and 18th century, two people. When I became a Christian, it took me by surprise. It took my friends by surprise. I was a touring musician. I went across Canada. And actually, recently, I had a meeting with my old tour manager. We met in a bar over a beer. He said, look, I don't mean to offend you, but I'm still waiting for you to say psych about this whole Christian thing. Like, I can't wrap my head around it. And that's the truth. When I encountered Christ, met Jesus specifically as Emmanuel, God with us, it was not when my life was all together, but it was spiraling out of control. My band had broken up in the middle of a record deal. I'd lost everything. I didn't want to live. And in that moment, God saved me.
Hallelujah.
And in some capacity, I put my faith in Jesus, but God saved me, opened up my mind, granted me the grace to see Christ as he truly is. And the first church that I ever joined was a church plant. And it just changed my life. It just turned my life around completely. I was just a mess. And I was literally the first person they got to this church plant. And he had nothing better to do than disciple me for 2 years while this church plant slowly grew. And joining a church plant changed my life. And then planting a church, 10 years later, has totally changed my life. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Alistair. I'm one of the pastors at St. Peter's Fireside. We planted this church really 2 years ago, but we've had about a year of public services. And what I'm discovering is that church planting itself has been changing my life. There's still an incredible amount of sanctification to be done in my life, and that through church planting, God is anchoring me in the gospel in deeper and deeper ways. God has been extremely generous to us as a church plant. Recently, we had some visitors from Anik. I don't know if they're here. I can't remember their names, but they're at one of our services, and they told someone, and it got passed on to me. They said, we're here. We came all the way from the East Coast because we were told, if you want to see how a church plant's done right, go see St. Peter's Fireside. Now, my ego felt really, really good about that for a moment. Like, yeah, right, you come and see us. And then I had to repent. Like, I understand what they're saying. Right? And there's some truth to that. Things are going very well, and I don't want to deny that or diminish it, but the growth that is happening is not because of us. Don't get me wrong. We had a very well-planned strategy. We were at this thing long before we ever moved back to Vancouver, my wife and myself. We were commissioned by a non-denominational megachurch, which allowed us to raise about $500,000 before even starting a church plant. We partnered with St. John's Vancouver, and so we have one of the largest Anglican churches supporting us. We're a part of the Redeemer City to City, Tim Keller's network in New York. And we're also a part of the C2C network in Canada. So we're well-networked, we're well-resourced, and we're thoroughly assessed and trained in planting gospel-centered churches in urban environments. And beyond that, with what we raised, we're enabled to have 3 full-time staff. We're the most overstaffed church plant I've ever heard of. And to be clear, much of what has happened at St. Peter's could not have happened if it wasn't for Mike and Roger, who are sitting over there, and the team that God has graced us with. And so while I think joining a network is a good thing, while I think churches planting churches is a good thing, while I think having sustainable financing is absolutely key in urban church planting, over and over and over again, I've learned that it is not our planning that brings growth. Our planning cannot guarantee success in church planting. It never can. When my wife Julia and I lived in Orlando, we joined this community garden. I'd never gardened in my life, and she hadn't either, if we're honest. And we had this 4x8 bed, and we planted the usual culprits, tomatoes and all these things. And we labored, we planted, and we toiled at it, and a lot of things died, mostly the things I was supposed to tend to. But I had the brilliant idea of planting spearmint. Are there any gardeners here? So when we planted spearmint, this spearmint bush, it just took over the whole bed. And we had to rip it out. And it started growing under the boards and out into the other people's gardens. Like, we could not contain the spearmint. 1 Corinthians 3:6-9, Paul writes this: I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one. Each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. We can try to start churches. We can try to plant churches. We can tend to churches. We can care for them. We do our part, but we do not bring the growth. Only God can bring the growth. Only God can call and create and establish churches. And I think this fundamentally happens through the proclamation of the gospel, that when the gospel is proclaimed in its entirety, a church is birthed. This is what we see in the scriptures. And so, if that's true, if only God can bring the growth, our biggest concern as a denomination in church planting has to be the Father's will, which can only be discerned through prayer. We have to be aligning ourselves with what God wants to do in and through us. There is absolutely no advancement of the gospel in Canadian cities without a firm foundation of prayer. Because as Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. We need to be praying that God would call and equip and sanctify people to plant churches. And when we identify these people that God is calling and equipping and sanctifying, we have to do a couple things. Because there's what I've learned in the networks that we're a part of, there's two things in general, and these are big generalizations, that kill a church plant. Bad leadership and running out of money. And so we need solid training and resourcing in place if we're going to successfully plant a church. We've seen this to be true for our St. Peter's Fireside. Part of the result of the growth we're seeing is because of how we're surrounded by the greater church. And so I think what will be fundamental to Annex succeeding at church planting is actually partnering with a network that already exists in Canada, a network called C2C Network. Now, there's conversations that will have to happen there, but C2C Network is committed to planting gospel-centered churches. This is an interdenominational church plant. I've been a part of them since before I even moved back to Vancouver. They're planting Baptist churches, Mennonite churches, Presbyterian churches. I'm the token Anglican right now. Pentecostal churches. Like, it is cool. And now it is across Canada, and multiple denominations across Canada have shut down their church planting departments and have said, you guys do this for us. Help us. Show us. Let's partner together. They want to plant gospel-centered churches, and the gospel surely in its entirety can transcend denominational lines. And while we don't want to lose our distinct identity as Anglicans, we can be unified with this network because they want to be gospel-centered. They also want to be Spirit-led, the Spirit who proceeds from the Father and the Son. They want to see the Spirit empowering this movement, not the work of man. Which means sometimes God just lets a church plant fail, which is perfectly fine. The church that I got saved in, essentially, it is not around anymore. It's gone. They ran out of money. The pastor burnt out. But I'm planting a church. And I'm indebted to that. But he was just as Spirit-led as I am. St. Peter's money, I'll be here in a year. I have no idea. But our success isn't determined by how many numbers we get or how many baptisms we have, but by following God, doing what the Spirit leads. And then we need to be mission-focused, which we just touched on, so I won't touch on that. But C2C Network, what they provide is thorough assessment. Because one thing to be called to be a minister of the gospel, it's one thing to be called to be a presbyter or a deacon, it's another thing to be called to be a church planter. Not that you're so special, you just have to have a certain level of insanity. And they need to be discerned well. You can't just send anyone out into the wolves. And then parallel to good assessment is we need to come up with sustainable financing plans. My salary and much of our staff salary is because people throughout the world have committed to give monthly to us while we get self-sustaining. Someone mentioned that Annex Poor. That's new to me. I haven't discovered that yet, but if we're poor, we need to be creative in making sure that church plants have every measure possible to succeed. And financing, we can't deny the reality, is so important. So part of what we hope to do as we form this board is to look for avenues of sustainable financing so we can create resource churches that might plant other churches. Lastly, we need solid contextualized strategies. Solid contextualized strategies. What it means is that based on our theological foundation as Annex, the things that we value, the uniqueness of each city, the uniqueness of each church plant, planter. It means that not every single church plant will look the same. You can talk to Josh and Andy at the table. You can talk to us. You can talk to many of the other church plants that have been featured. We all look different, but we're unified by the gospel. But if we're truly taking that kind of triangle of things, you know, the theological foundation, the uniqueness of the city, the church planter, we're going to see different expressions of Anglican churches spread throughout Canada, but they'll be unified by the gospel. And so if we want to be a network that has churches that plants churches, if we want to see church plants across Canada, our sole calling is to be praying that we might discern the will of God, that God might bring laborers for the harvest, that he might deepen the gospel in our lives. Because if we truly get the gospel, we will proclaim it and we will see churches birth. Thank you.
So that's priority number five. So if you could take a few minutes to comment on that, and if you can provide some guidance to that committee, it'd be helpful. When you're finished, too, I'm going to ask you to collect the notes that you've put together. And before we leave, we'll get a chance to bring them up to the table just so we can keep them all together and get them where they should be. So thank you.